All right. What's going on, everybody? This is Edison with the Questionable Behavior Podcast. We got Tyron, the fucking chosen one, Woodley, in the house. What's going on?
What's up? How y'all doing?
All right. Good to be here, man.
All right.
Y'all ain't have a mic for me?
No, we got to hold it, you know.
The budget around here. God damn. Bitch been eating yams.
Listen, this only got two inputs. You know, I don't know if we can afford the better shit, but it gets the job done.
You ever tried that one? It's a brand called Bofa.
No, I haven't yet.
Both of these nuts.
Oh, this motherfucker.
He got you. That comes from these nuts podcasts.
All right. Well, that's how we're going to start the show. All right.
Realness.
Yeah. All right. So, no, first off, I want to start off with you're wrestling. You're a 2-time national champion wrestler. Mm-hmm. So, coming out of college as a wrestler, which is like a career that is hard for people to pursue in general, was the UFC in your mind from the get or?
No, UFC was not in my mind. My wrestling coach in high school was a mixed martial artist, and I went to go watch two fights. I said, man, fuck that. I ain't doing that shit. That shit crazy. You ain't got no rules, hardly any gloves on. Yeah, punching people and kneeing people while they're on the ground. I said, no, I'm good. But at the end of my senior year in college, a lot of wrestlers were getting in MMA. I'm like, oh, shit, I wrestled that dude. I know that guy. That used to be my coach. He was my teammate. And they just started to blow up in a way. I'm like, shit, let me just give it a try. Mm-hmm. So, like, at the Ultimate Fighter 1, 2, and 3, I knew almost 90% of everybody on the show. And I'm like, shit, let me try it out. And then I fought, like, 7 fights. They all was, like, under a minute. And I was like, I never really got to know if I liked it or not.
Right.
And before I knew it, I was fucking doing it full time.
I was going to ask, right before you go into Octagon, man, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to gospel, man. I'm listening to the song. It's an artist named Megan Williams from St. Louis. She got a song called Your Ladder. And then I just listened to it and just say the best days are yet to come. Mm. All the hard work, all the stress, all the ups and downs, all the letdowns, anything that try to hold you back, it puts you in a place where your best days are in front of you. So I don't need to really get pumped up. I'm already kind of internally motivated. But when I listen to that, I like to hear something slow, calm, and I like it reach the climax of, like, now I'm about to walk in, now I'm about to get Vaseline on my face, now I'm about to get locked into this octagon with somebody that want to take what's mine. And, I just thrive in that moment.
Can you close the door, though?
I mean, I did come out here 10 times during y'all shit, so.
Yeah, all right. So you start getting into the UFC, and right away, it's like this is a whole new career for you. Yeah. So what's your mentality at that point? Like, obviously, you're trying to be the best at the fighting, whatever, but what's your mentality in regards to, like, this whole new concept? And, like, you know, now you're throwing punches, you're throwing kicks, you know, you have to learn all different types of martial arts in general. And that initial step, was it, like, overwhelming for you?
No, the only thing that, you know, I got into it and I really didn't have a clear sight on what I want to do was music. You know, I started doing music as a stress relief, and I started becoming fucking good at writing. Then I started to find my sound and kind of manipulate my voice where it sounds very unique and very distinctive from anybody else. So if anybody was to sound like that, you'd be like, damn, that dude's trying to sound like Tyron. So that's a gift in itself. Mm-hmm. But fighting, I always knew I wanted to be the best in the world. I didn't know I wanted to end as GOAT, and that's one thing I kind of changed my mind on. But football, I always wanted to make an NFL. Everything I did, I kind of knew and wanted to be at the top of it.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, because we're podcasters. You yourself do a podcast.
Yeah.
These Nuts Podcast.
The Morning Wood Show with These Nuts.
Yeah, Morning
for
sure. Yeah, talk about that. How did it come about? Co-host, shout out to them, all that good stuff.
You know, shout out to my co-host, Dean Thomas, who happens to be my head MMA coach, you know, shit, the last 13 years. Mm. And the thing that we got a lot of insight, he does a lot of improv, a lot of acting, a lot of stage shows, stand-up comedy, and he also does 3 different radio shows on ESPN on radio. So he's just an artist in himself. I've been doing acting, stunt work, film, commercial, anything that you can think of, I've been doing more than any other UFC fighter for a very long time. So then when I picked up music this year and then stand-up comedy, these are lanes that I said I won't restrict myself from. I am an artist completely all around, through and through. So we did this podcast because I just had so many different networks and resources and
personality.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course.
But we got, politics we want to talk about. You know, obviously, I'm going to just say fuck Trump real loud all the time. So, you know, that's not going to ever change. And then you see the music industry, all my homies, Wiz, Ludacris, Snoop, Ice Cube, people that are just pioneers in the game, and then the athletes, Devontae Freeman, PG, these are all my homies. And I started thinking, like, damn, my network is, like, crazy. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I utilize that to do a show where we can be free? I don't have to do what I would have to do on ESPN or Fox, or what I have to do on TMZ, mm-hmm. or what I have to do on a movie. We can say whatever the fuck we want to. We can lie, Joan, cuss. We can prank call. We can talk politics, fighting. We've had a couple of shows we didn't even talk about MMA at all. So mm-hmm. that's the thing I like.
Where can people find your podcast?
You can find it on find it on iTunes, definitely in the podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also find it on SoundCloud. So The Morning Wood Show with These Nuts. Make sure you guys subscribe, tune in, and we're taking this shit all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you did steal that name in a sense of, like, I'm jealous that I didn't think of it, but.
Hey, Bird, get the word. Lazy right. pig don't get no slop.
Now, so you're the world champion in UFC. So what makes you pursue another career like music, which obviously takes time away from your training and all this, and you're obviously pursuing now with the podcasting world and the acting and all these different outlets, which is taking time away from you being the world champion in a sense. So what makes you go and pursue that? Like you just said, most UFC fighters don't do that.
You know, it's just limiting yourself. And like I said, I was saying this all week, everybody is used to the term Renaissance man. Mm. And a Renaissance man is a person that did a lot of things average but did nothing great. Mm. That was his ass. That's right. Not me. Right. I can do three or four things that aren't great. I can be a great actor. I can be a great father. I can be a great businessman, entrepreneur, musician, manager, whatever you really want to fucking do. If you put your mind to it, you can be great at that. And I just hate when people try to limit you. So for me, it was hard because I always have a big plate. But when you take on two different crafts that are the most scrutinized crafts for an athlete to try to jump over into,
right.
that challenge I just couldn't pass up. Mm-hmm. You know, they waiting on my shit to sound whack. It ain't, though.
Right.
They waiting on me to get up on stand-up comedy right. and bomb. I've never done that.
Mm.
I've always had everybody fucking dying laughing because I am who I am, whether you take this camera off, whether I'm in Octagon, whether I'm in locker room, or I'm at fucking Schnucks grocery store, or I'm at fucking check cashing place. I'm going to be the same person, and I think people really can fuck with that. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I always wondered, like, if when you're in the middle of a fight, you're on the ground, you know, you're grappling, whatever. Yeah. Are people talking shit, throwing words back and forth?
I'm always talking shit. Like,
yeah, you know.
My last fight, shit, I didn't even win the fight, unfortunately. But I remember the dude, started stomping my feet. I said, "Oh shit, we stomping feet now?" But I said that in the middle of the fight, and I'm thinking, like, this is some bullshit. I'm sitting here not even fighting the way I was supposed to do, and I got time to sit here and talk shit. I'm like, we stomping feet now. That's what we doing now. All right. He was grabbing my glove and shit. I was like, nigga, grab my glove. Just grab my glove so he can hold it, and I couldn't move my hand, and he just fucking dropped an elbow and cut my eye open. So, yeah, you know, I talk stuff.
What style? I want to know, because first time you got in the ring, a style you weren't used to, you're like, holy shit, I got to go up against Bruce Lee.
I never had that.
Okay.
Because I always train. If I ran into a striker, mm-hmm. I can hold my own with any striker, and push come to shove, I can take his ass down. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a wrestler, I can stop him from taking me down, and he's not going to be able to fuck with me in striking. Or if it's a grappler, he's not going to be able to even take me down to get to the grappling. But if he does, I can pop back up. So I kind of prevent, like, you know, like the prevent defense.
Right.
I trained that from the beginning. I spent 85% of my time training boxing mm-hmm. because I knew, at least for the first 25% of my career, nobody's probably going to be able to take me down.
Right.
So why keep wrestling? And that's my strongest craft. Of course, drill it, stay in wrestling shape, you know, work on new techniques, mm-hmm. learn how to use your wrestling more to set up your punches and shit, mm-hmm. but don't overly be wrestling all the time because, one, y'all don't really want to see that. Mm-hmm. Y'all want to see a motherfucker get knocked out.
It's not entertaining.
You know, it's not. And then, you know, I'm a wrestler.
Neutral fan, at least.
I'm a wrestler, and I've gotten to the point where I'm okay with a motherfucker saying, damn, motherfucker, quit grabbing each other.
Right.
And I'm a, you know, all-American wrestler. So mm-hmm. for me, it's just about the sport and the culture and what the sport wants. The sports wants people that are either beating each other back and forth, bleeding. You can even lose, but if you fight in that manner, people are going to always have your back. Mm. They want to see people get knocked out. They don't want to see a close fight. They don't want to see a chess match. I've had chess match that people have given me the most shit about, but at the end of the day, I'm fighting smart, which don't mean fighting safe. I can still try to fuck you up, but be fighting smart. Right. So...
So musically, so now you know you have your UFC career. with the music career coming right behind it, does it kind of make you feel like, all right, I should stop my UFC career early so I can pursue the music? Is there any pressure like that?
No pressure at all, because I can do, you know how much music we listen to train, to run, to do CrossFit, fucking flicking dumbbells up in the air. Like, we use music so much. Why can't I use it as a form of expression? I may have to be a certain way all the time. I'm going to have to be disciplined to eat fucking grass-fed beef and goddamn quinoa all damn day for 6 weeks. Why can't I go into the studio and say, bust it wide open, drop that shit like a bitch man eating yams? I can say it now. I can get it out, and I can, whew, now I can go back to being a plain piece of toast for training camp. Why can't I go in there and talk about some shit that deep-rooted since I was a kid,
right,
that fucking probably molded me into who I am right now? Or why can't I talk about where I came from and how it built me and what I had to overcome? Or why can't I talk about being rich? Why can't I talk about being in the club? Mm-hmm. Why can't I talk about a girl got a fat ass and I want to, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I should be able to talk about all that.
That's right.
So when people try to limit you, they're really boxing you in. And I'm a big believer, if God gave you a gift, mm-hmm, he wants you to use it. If you sit on your gifts and you bury them, he's going to take them away from you.
Right, right,
so
right.
That's my whole philosophy.
Do you ever come up with lyrics while you work out, while you train?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I'll go to a dark place and train it. Yeah. Like my coach tell me when it's time to fight, he said, I want you to turn your black heart, turn your heart black. He didn't tell me that this time. That's probably why I fucking lost.
We just found out.
I'm just talking about that. He never told me that. But yeah, sometimes you got to be willing to go to a dark place. Like, you got to be willing to elbow somebody in the fucking face, and then you see their blood come out of their face, and you got to do it again. You got to do it again, and they're still bleeding, and they're trying to block, and you got to find a way to move their defense out the way, them trying to protect themselves, and do it again. And if you got an arm bar, you got to be willing to hear it break and pop and not stop, or choking somebody and you hear them dry heaving. Do you keep going? Do you ease up? You got to be willing to mentally go to that point. When you want to, like, to me, I've had a couple fights where I've elbowed a motherfucker and was like, damn, Nick, I know that shit hurt. Let me just punch this dude.
Now
I'm to the point where, like, I'm okay.
Right.
Like, if I elbow this motherfucker and he just drop right in front of me, go limp, I'm going to just walk away with my hands up. So,
Can you talk a little bit about your workout in Ferguson, man? I know you're doing a lot of stuff with the community out there, and I love how you are such a well-rounded
artist. That motherfucker's low-key tricked me into that doc, because we said...
we did give it a time, man. We got like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, man. 2 minutes.
We did say,
just real quick,
this motherfucker real good at asking questions and sneak you deep down to... So tell me about your work in Ferguson. I know you're invested into the community. Yeah. Tell us about some of your efforts.
That gives us another 10 minutes right there.
Tell us about some of your other efforts in the community.
You can just get plugs, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm from Ferguson, obviously. I grew up on the street where the riots happened at. I walked to that Quick Trip many, many times where, you know, the riot and burn down went through. And I know the area very, very well. So during the riots, I personally wanted to show that people from Ferguson were successful. Got musicians, got engineers. One of my homies was, you know, 18 years old playing trumpet in the Grammys. It's people that utilize being in an area or an environment that wasn't optimal to motherfucking actually get out and made them tougher. So, like, if I'm fighting somebody, like I was fighting Darren Till, you know, 2 fights ago, and this dude been stabbed before in the club. So I said, this is a different type of motherfucker. I can't utilize my background in this fight to think that if the going gets tough, I can draw on my fucking background to push me through it. This dude nearly seen death. He'd been stabbed up in a bar before. So, coach, don't let me ease up. Don't let me take no days off. Don't let me miss a run. Don't let me, if I'm tired, keep pushing me, because when you got the extra component in there, you can't really train for that. That's an intangible that you can't train for. Right.
So you are looking into, like, the background of the fighters that you're about to fight. You're checking and you're doing that.
I'm looking at the background. I'm looking at the way to look at me during the stare down. I'm looking about what they saying. I'm looking at some of the training videos I see. I need 10 or 15 seconds. We're creatures of habit. If you do something too much, you know, if you slip the jab the same way over and over again, I'm going to set a trap for you. So I definitely watch it.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up with that because we don't want to turn it into a documentary.
We can talk some more about music, though. Shit, ain't shot music.
Let's do it. Yeah, of course.
Let's talk about the fucking album, Chaos Theory, Archangels, dropped in March. Go out there and grab that shit on iTunes, Spotify, anything downloadable. Yeah. Go and get that crazy, insane album. T-Dubbo is a beast.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, like, that link up. Yeah.
You know what's funny is I met T-Dub a little bit over a year ago, and we was doing this cypher, and I had just started... you know, went in there to do a voiceover for somebody that was a fan of me that wanted me to do some voiceover work for him. I said, cool. I get in on my shit. I'm in the studio. We got to at least try nigga throw a beat on. So they did that, and I freestyled for the whole beat. And they said, all right, let's do it again. Throw another beat. I said, all right, cool, let's do it. I did it again. And I'm just having the time of my life. I don't really think nothing of it.
Right.
But it ain't no hook. It ain't no structure. Right. I don't even know what the beat is. I just go off on these beats. And then he said, hey, you got one more in you? And I said, let me hear it. And it was a beat that an artist from St. Louis was doing. I wanted to hear his verse. I said, I can sound better than that. And I wanted to hear the verse. So I listened to his verse, and I went there and did it again. He said, come out of the booth. He said, you need to consider doing an album. You need to consider.
Wow.
At this time, I'm like, dude, get the fuck out of here. Like,
you know what I mean?
And the other dude was like, man, I think you can get signed to a label, man. I think you get a record deal and this and this. And it's like, man, you should start a record company or your own. I'm thinking, this is just
fucking. Yeah, it's too much too soon.
Yeah, it's not even that. It was just like, it was just a point where I was not even considering it as something to pursue.
Right.
And then I started to develop my sound. Then I started to learn how to structure songs. And then I got so much to talk about. Like, when you think about, I've been broke. I've been evicted. I've been rich. I've fucking been in the club. I've fucking been outside of the club trying to get in the club. You know what I mean? I've been, you know, had kids and breakups and fucking in life and just growing up gangbanging. You can't fucking tell me I can't. I live with fucking people that are just the grimiest people in the street you can ever imagine. I went on rides. I've been on crack sets. Like, fucking weekly, and I'm like, any subject you can rap about, instead of just being a part of the culture, why can't I participate in this lane?
Right, that's right.
So, the moment you start, like, you know, spitting bars and getting songs together, now you realize, like, all right, the tracks can be here, the albums are coming. So, how do you focus musically to get better and to improve yourself, like, from album to album?
You know, I think most artists hate their voice when they first start rapping. They hear that shit, they hate it. And I hated my shit. I'm like, fuck this. I mean, let's do it again. And, you know, I blew so much money in the studio just actually taking the time to do verses over and over and over and over again. And then you got to accept your voice, and you got to learn how to freak your voice. You got to learn how to put sauce on your voice. You got to have the right engineer that knows how to accentuate your voice. So I got, like, a kind of a raspy voice anyway. So I ran from it, but now it's like, beat that pussy up, nailing it down, head over mouth, banging you out, don't make a sound. Nobody gonna sound like that.
So what was it like working on that track that you have out now with Wiz? You know, I heard a sample of it on YouTube right now. Shit's fire right now.
Yeah, shit going ham.
That shit is right. What's been the response?
We got a gang of strings on that shit.
What's been the response so far?
The response I've been getting is, you know, people that, like, you know, like my homie Rockstar, the producer from the VH1 reality show, and Jay Glazer, the owner of Unbreakable and the Fox guy, they'll tell you they're the most hatingest motherfuckers on earth.
Right, they love to hate. Right, can't wait to hate.
He said, my nigga, I'm going to be real with you. I'm a hater. I look for a reason. And if I give you credit, it's because I have to give you credit. And I'm just happy that, you know, people can even go into it expecting, oh, you gonna here go another athlete trying to rap. He gonna sound like this person. He gonna sound like that person, you know. And then they listen to it with the most critical ears, but when they hear this shit, they gotta give you your props. They gotta give you your props. So that's been the most amazing part about it. There's just response from all my celebrity friends getting behind it. All the streams we got on it, you know, Mayweather and fucking Killer Mike and anybody you can think of that's like real OGs in the game really stood up for it. And then, you know, we were doing a track. I think we were doing a track called Gorillas on the Grind that's on the album. We was doing that track and we finished that up. And then I was mad. I think Dana, somebody pissed me off.
Yeah.
And I told Dub, I said, man, I want to do a song called Nigga, I Beat Your Motherfucking Ass. And Dub looked at me and said, well, can't do a song like that. You'll never sell one album or one record. And he said, let's do this. Let's chant this shit. I beat your ass. I beat your ass.
Yeah.
So he started doing that. And we delirious. It's 3:30 in the morning. And we started chanting back, and we all in the studio. And I just started randomly saying reasons, because I'm a joner. Like, if you're around me, Lona, I will roast your ass. I'm a joning machine.
You started the show off right.
Many people, he did. Many people have changed their outfits during this trip due to the ferocity of the Jones that came forth.
We didn't break back up clothes, bro, so hold it off.
That's right.
So we was just sitting there. I beat your ass for this.
Yeah.
I beat your ass for that. I beat your ass, hit it, and then we started going back and forth. Yeah. And we always randomly saying, like, rhyming and shit. Mm-hmm. So then, Dub, this how you know he fucking creating something. When he in his fucking notepad, he's doing like this.
Right.
And cuz throw that beat back on. And then at that point, it's like, nigga, you just wrote that in 2 minutes? Mm. So he get in the bathroom. Not the bathroom. He get in a motherfucking booth. Sometimes it feel like the bathroom for me.
Yeah, it is so much, right?
I be want to throw up. I want to shit. Like, my stomach hurt. Everybody looking at me. Mm. But I went in there, and he was like, I beat your ass. So I thought he was just going to keep chanting that. Then he was like, I beat him on God, though. Talk slick, move quick like a Vato. Mm. One hand behind my back with my eyes closed. You can't fuck with me, yeah, I know. Look, I beat your ass. And I'm like, this motherfucker is different.
Right.
Like, I heard him rap. Like, when I did that cypher, he went and ripped that shit one take. Mm. And I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? Mm. I know one thing. I said, give me 10 minutes. I got to go write something because I'm not finna be the weakest link. He, like, snapped. I said, I thought this was just a cypher. I thought we were just going to have fun.
Right,
so now
right.
You, just, you know, right. He makes a move, so he makes you make the next move.
But I think at that moment, when we did that beat your ass hook, when I say 2 minutes, I'm not just saying it because it sounded good on camera.
Right.
He literally, 2 minutes later, turned the beat back on. Boom. Damn. And he started directing everybody. Hey, Tyra, you and what's the name? Get over. I want you to dub on the knee. Mm-hmm. I want you to go, ah, beat your ass. And I want you to go, ah, beat your ass. Mm-hmm. And chant underneath that. Then we want to ride. I want to so layer
he
it.
Just took it over from the get.
He took it over. Hey, turn this up. Turn it. Put this on Tyra's voice. Tyra, I don't fucking feel it. You fucking pissed off. You want to? Because everybody has a moment where they want it to be somebody ass. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker didn't cut you off. You got fired from your job. Baby mama drama. Right. Everybody has a reason. Or you might be going to work out. You want to get pumped up. It's always a moment where you have an anthem song.
That's right.
Whoop that trick, throw them bowls, turn the club up.
Right.
Like, so when I heard this song, I'm like, this it. Mm-hmm. This the 2018 whoop that trick, turn the club up. Turn the club up was probably the hardest shit ever.
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was going for. I wanted motherfuckers to be like, just mosh pit ass shit. Mm-hmm. So I said, I heard Ludacris on this.
Right.
I said, Ludacris is the original.
Yeah.
Drop bowls on him, stand up, every fucking thing. And I called Ludacris, and I'm like, AG, you got to do this track, my nigga. This shit is crazy. Mm-hmm. I said, this is the anthem, old school Ludacris. The fucking internet would break. And it would have. It would be nuts.
Yeah.
He in the most politely, elegantly, delicately.
He's good with his words.
Way told me no. You know what, Tyron? You know, Tyron, yeah, you know we brothers, man. You know, we definitely going to work on some music together. Let's find a beat and track that actually vibe with me. I'm at a point in my career where, you know, you gonna fuck me up when he sees this too. I'm at a point in my career, you know, where I have to be intrigued and I have to be inspired as an artist. And if I hear a song and I'm like, I gotta be on that song, then I'm gonna jump on that song. Mm. He said, but if I don't feel that, me as well, I said, man, I'm telling you, man, just listen to it again.
Yeah.
Hear my shit, hear weird shit, nigga, this shit crazy. I get where you're coming from, Tyra, and I understand why it makes sense for you. But what I'm telling you is that as an artist, I have to be inspired because now I'm doing film, I'm hosting the billboards, so I'm doing Fear Factor, I'm doing the Fast series, I got my music stuff going on, so yeah, we'll work on it together. And I say, okay, I'll listen to it, but I'm probably not going to change my mind. Oh my God. And I got off the phone, I want to be mad because I feel like I should be able to use my fighting now to make a motherfucker do.
Right.
Then I'm going to beat your ass.
But then it's like, I'm going to beat your ass now.
But then it's like, damn, he fucking smart as fuck. He like super smart, intelligently declined my offer to help. It was really to help me. Not like he need any kind of help in music.
Right.
Declined. And he said it so nicely. I'm like, damn, that was kind of dope. So I let it go.
Who are some of the other features on the album? Who else you
man, we
with,
got
man?
Burner on the album. We got a song called Slide. It's ridiculous on Bay Area shit. Mm-hmm. We got a homie named G the Singer that from St. Louis. He did the hook for that. We got Wiz, obviously, on the Beat Your Ass track. Mm-hmm. Shit, my little sister on a fucking song called Can't Go On. So, conscious song, mental health, pressure, you know, dealing with adversity. Everybody got that moment where they at their breaking point.
Yep.
And some of us take longer to get there. Some of it's alcohol that we suppress it with, weed, drinking, being a thought, whatever we do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, nobody can really heal it without addressing it and realizing that shit really exists.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So before pursuing music as like a career for yourself, were you ever afraid like, all right, it's gonna fuck with my image as a UFC fighter and as a champion? And like, did you ever have like that feeling like, all right, like almost doubt in a sense, like should I keep pushing the music or not? Like what?
You know, it got a point where I was like, man, you know, I know everybody gonna be waiting in rows, waiting here, waiting to say it's whack. You know what I mean? And the fine tooth comb is gonna be so fucking thin for an athlete, and then. Everybody wanted, rap right now. That's like right. Me saying, okay, how long you been training? Oh, let's fight right now. Ain't nobody gonna be ready to do that shit. So everybody quickly, when they find on you an athlete and you rap, let me drop the weakest beat, and I want you to freestyle on the spot. I never really like to do a freestyle because it's for free.
Right, that's right. I got a couple
Right. Yeah, I got a couple mixtape songs, but I'm like, if that shit come out of my face and I wrote it down, I want full credit and on a record. That shit need to be on the record. So I don't like freestyling, but I do it.
Yeah,
I do it because you got to. You can't really forfeit that part. It's like being in a dance group and you don't want to do an audition to dance.
Yeah. All right. So you have any final questions?
No, I'm good. This is a great interview, man. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. I think my man was scared to tell me my breasts smell like Doritos. Cause he thought I was gonna beat his ass, but he low key probably was like, damn man, this motherfucker ate fried chicken, Doritos. He just had an alcohol burp, but I don't want to say nothing because he might beat my ass. Yeah,
no, that's happened a lot. I was gonna ask some questions, but I'm like, nah, I'm not gonna get my ass beat. Not in fucking Texas.
I forgot to put this fucking piece of gum in my mouth. I was giving it for that reason, but now. When I dug in my pocket.
Thank you for putting the gum at the end of the interview.
Right.
Thanks for that.
Never too late.
All right, shout out to everybody back home in New York, New Jersey. Hangover Takeover. We got the Question Would Be Ever podcast. And shout out to the chosen one right here. Stay tuned for the music. First of all, tune into that album that's out now.
Check that.
And they got
check
a new
that.
One coming out Chaos in June.
Theory. Yeah, when's that dropping?
Archangels Chaos Theory. We're going to drop a new album end of June, I think. End of June. We got a couple singles that are not even albums in July. So we're going to go crazy this year.
All right, looking forward.
All right,
forward.
Everybody. Looking forward to that, and stay tuned.
All right, peace.
Your ass on TV. Stop. Nigga, I'll beat your ass with some beef shit. Beat your ass on GP. Pull up on that sneak tip. Niggas run when they see me. Now your eyes fucking popping out and you seeing shit in 3D. Beat your head to the white meat. Knock out all your white teeth. Warm fruit punch on your shirt for niggas thinking that I'm sweet. Paws loaded with concrete. Fingertips with NyQuil. Quick to put a nigga right to sleep if he looking like he might squeal. Hands on deck, H-O-D,
H-O-D.
When I'm in this octagon, I'm G-O-D,
G-O-D.
Get that ass beat live.